You know, I've known all my life that God has a plan, God has a purpose, no matter what we go through, whether it's good or bad. And I've seen God's hand throughout all this, as Renee touched on. So, you know, I've already said that I don't know why we've gone through this. I don't know the purpose, but it doesn't matter whether I find out or not ever why God did this. That doesn't matter. And then going through Bible reading this year, going into Job. You know, read Job many, many times, and what Job went through was horrendous. But we read the start of Job, what does it talk about? Why did Job go through what he did? So we read the book of Job with the mindset of knowing why he went through what he went through, as horrible as it was. But a question came up to my mind this year that I hadn't thought of before. I don't know if the preacher still does that, reads something and everything. Did Job know why he went through what he went through? If he did, when did he find out? We don't know that answer to that question. But we can tell that going through the book of Job, he didn't know when he went into it. He wouldn't have said what he said and how he said it. If he knew why he was going through what he was going through. And I don't think it would have meant to God or to Satan what it meant if Job had known what he was going through, why he was going through it at the time. Job may have never known, but it didn't matter to him. He had that much faith on God, in God, that it didn't matter. If God slays me, yet I will trust him. So it doesn't matter. So, you know, and that's really meant a lot to me. But that's not what I came to preach about. But that is what's on our heart, obviously. But when Brother Gary sent me a text, asked me if I would preach this morning, immediately something came to mind that I think about quite a bit. Relationship to our church, I think this church is going through it. And I guess it was meant that I was supposed to preach this morning. One time when I was in the mountains of Arkansas, when I was going to college, I went to church visiting. You know, I'm a Hicks from Arkansas, and so I understand that role. But if you've ever been into a country church in the mountains of Arkansas, it's different than a Arkansas Hicks has ever been to before. I went to church there. One, I had a dozen people ask me if I'm a preacher. I'm like, no, why does everyone think I'm a preacher? I'm just a little kid. Get in church, I look around, and I realize there's only two Bibles in that church. The preacher has one, and I have the other. So therefore, I must be the preacher. Well, I look around this morning, and there's only one of us guys wearing a necktie. So I guess I'm the preacher this morning. Brother Chastain was 94. Brother Terman just had his 86th birthday. I think about that. And I think about a scripture in Judges chapter 2, starting in verse 6. Years old. That's a long time. And still came to church and preached, ministered until fairly recent, I understand.
About a year or two before.
But he still was here.
Yes, sir.
Brother Terman's 86. And he still gets around for someone much younger than that. There's also been a few times in the last few months that he's looked and acted 86. Judges chapter 2, verse 6. And when Joshua, Moses had already gone, and this is when they had already fought in the land of Israel, had taken over a lot of the territory God had promised them, but not all, but a lot. And now Joshua let the people go. The children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. So they had already fought, now they're going in to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord and what he did for Israel. The thought that comes to my mind frequently, the elders that outlived Joshua, they lived, the people of God lived. So who are the elders? Gideon, am I an elder? Am I old? I'm 58 years old. Is that an old? I asked Gideon, you know. You know, my boy's telling me they're getting older. Oh. My wife also shares the same birthday with Brother Terman. Oliver, our grandson, just turned 6. Asked her how old she was, and she told him. If she wants to tell you, that's fine. I'm not. And he thinks about that in a moment and goes, that's a big number. He didn't say she was old. That's just a big number. I'm one of the few in our church, 12 if I count right, that were here at the church at our first annual camp, our first anniversary. I was 6 years old when we started going to our church. Sister Sarah, Sister Rachel, if I remember right, my math is right, your dad was 14 when I met him, thereabouts. So I've been around the church for a while, thanks to God and God alone. But I also know what our church has been through in the last 52 years that I've been involved, soon to be. And I see what Satan tries to do in our church to lower our standards, not to live up to what we have been taught. And what did Israel do? And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. So whether Brother Terman lives to be 100, as Audrey has dreamt, or even lives to the oldest Joshua, 110, at 86, that's not far away. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. To me, that's such a sad statement. Yes, sir. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, and the gods of other people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord unto anger. All those mercies you talked about, to go past all those mercies to God's anger, how far do you have to go? What do you have to do? And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel a certain responsibility as being one of the 12 that are still in our church that were there at the first anniversary. I wasn't there when they had that tent revival for 17 weeks in that cold. I wasn't there for that. But I was there for that first camp meeting when we had the meals under that old oak tree on those doors. I remember that. And if any of you are familiar with black walnuts in August, if they're on the ground, they're still in the husk, that green husk. And they're smaller than a baseball. Perfect size for a 7-year-old boy's hand to throw. And for some reason, Brother Terman did not like us boys throwing those little walnuts at the butane gas tank. It was a perfect target. But again, I can't imagine the responsibility it is to follow Brother Chasteen. I can't imagine the responsibility it is for Brother Paul and Brother Marshall to try to follow Brother Terman. But I know the Aaron and Hur that held up Moses' hands. And whether if I'm just an Aaron or Hur or whatever, it doesn't matter to me. Whatever God has for me in my role in my church, I want to fulfill that role. I think it's my responsibility to ensure that when Brother Terman's gone, Brother Paul's gone, I'm gone, those of us that were there at the beginning, that my boys cannot be said of them, they don't know God. They don't know the Lord. They don't know what they're supposed to do. I think it's my responsibility for them at least to know that they're the ones that are going to have to make the decision for themselves. But Chastain's not here anymore. How much longer will Terman be here? To get up there and admonish us and to encourage us, keep the faith. Doesn't matter what you go through, keep the faith through the generations. Brother Dave, I see that gray in your beard. I heard you admonish us this morning and to tell us and to remind us his mercies endure forever. Great message. Great teaching. There's not much hair on his head. There's a lot of gray in that beard. I'm not saying much other than to point out my point somewhat kiddingly. What if he's no longer here? He's been here a while. He's heard Brother Chasteen preach. He's heard that message. I understand he was saved into that message. What happens when he's no longer here? Who will be the ones to ensure? I've driven around this town. I've felt this town. I've not been in the streets of this town like some of you have. But there are gods here, whether you call they call them Baal or Ashtaroth or whatever they call them here. There are gods of this world, of Satan, in this town. I feel it. I may not have seen it face to face. I may not know its name, but I know its spirit. I know it's here. And I know it pulls hard. And I know it will be very easy at first to give into that. I see it in our church time and time again. You've seen it, Sister Rachel. Not everyone kept the standard. Not everyone has stayed true to what they were taught. They didn't know. They knew of God, but they didn't know God. So what happened to the Israelites when they didn't follow God? When they turned and followed these other gods? We've read it time and time again. How the enemies would come in, oppress them, destroy them. And God in his mercies would yet again restore. Yet again. Time and time and time again. And we read that through the Bible. Like, how could they not know? How could they not learn? But then again, are we really that much different than the children of Israel as a people? If we don't have a pastor reminding us Sunday morning to stay on the straight and narrow, how easy it would be for us to fall, to go back. When we're faced with a major trial, to say, this isn't worth it. Why am I having to go through this if I'm holding true to what was taught by the elders? It'd be so easy. It'd be so easy. For you. Wow. Then when the bad things happen, when God's judgments come, who do they turn to? Who do we turn to? Brother Gary, you've seen it. People that have turned their backs on Brother Chastain get in trouble. Where do they turn? Back to Brother Chastain. To serve. Sister Rachel, I know y'all seen it to your papa time and time again. The very ones he's helped, the very ones that turned against him. When the judgments of God come, when they're all the results of their own decision, God didn't have anything to do anything with. They just made their own decisions. But, you know, and the consequences that follow from your own decisions. How much better would it be if we don't do that? I wanted to read also in Psalm 78. I just wanted to encourage you this morning, because I know if Brother Turner were to ever to go on, what it'd be like in our church. And I have an idea how Satan would fight our church, and all the enemies of the church that would try to come in. Well, he's no longer here. How good are the defenses? How well could we stand against all those that would want to come in and discourage or fight? Starting verse 1, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We've tried to tell. We will not hide them from their children, and showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. My grandsons, my granddaughter. I want them to know. For he established a testimony in Jacob. Brother Chastain. He appointed a law in Israel. If I may be so bold, brother, is that you? Sure. The second. Which he commanded our fathers, and that they have made known to their children. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should rise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, and but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. That's my hope for our church, and if appropriate, my encouragement for this church, to keep telling children. You may have heard those stories over and over and over again, but I can tell you, when you get my age, you're really glad you've heard that story many times so you can remember it. They're important. How many times have those been down and heard that story about those doors sitting on those sawhorses to have dinner? Why is that so important? Because that's where God created a work. What's so important about this building? It's just some old stones. But it's the place that God has established, I believe, in Rockford, Illinois, as a harbor for the souls of this community. As he said, I've been coming now for 25 years, I don't know. I've seen a lot of people come to this church that I don't see coming anymore. There's a lot of people I've seen come to our church that don't come anymore. And there are many reasons why. And if they're like our church and people in Arkansas, they followed God just like the children of Israel. As long as they were fighting enemies, as long as they were needing help, but now they got their houses, sealed houses. They had all these vineyards they didn't plant that they're eating off of. And they've got fat and lazy. And I'm not going to say that's a bad thing because I'm going to say about how I may be. But my point is this. They forgot how they got all those blessings. Now, that's the way people in Arkansas, I don't think Illinois do that here or not, but then the very people that helped them put their marriages back together, the very people that helped them get their health, they turn on them. They'll say things about them that should not be repeated. They don't come to church anymore. But I don't want that to be said of my sons. And I would like to encourage, if I may, to keep the faith. The faith that I saw in Brother Chastain. The words that I, in the spirit that I saw in him. Yes, I see that same anointing on Brother Gary. But there may be a reason why the kids in our church called him Brother Few Hair. Oh, you know, God tarries, doesn't sin, Christ doesn't come back. He's not going to be here anymore. Now, I'm not going to presume who God will have to replace Brother Gary, but my point is he'll have someone. I don't know if that person's sitting in this congregation this morning or not, but who the people that knew Brother Chastain, that sat under him, that learned under him, the ones that will have to tell the people that are not here this morning what Brother Chastain was like and what that spirit and what that calling of God was on his life. They won't know. You know, even at 6 years old, there's only so much she's going to remember. When I was six, there's only so much I can remember from back then. I have to hear the stories because I don't remember. Or I remember just remember snippets of it. Maybe I just like a Polaroid, for those of us that don't know what a Polaroid is, picture. I have that picture in my mind. That's all I have of that whole event. It's just one picture. I need to be told. I needed to have been told. So, Brother Gary, that's my desire, is to come and just try to be a support and encouragement, because I know if Brother Terman was to ever go on and meet his, what it would be like in our church, I can't help to some degree it's like that here. And if I can be of some encouragement, that was what I felt in my heart immediately, to come and try to be an encouragement, if I may, to keep the faith, because I know Satan will try hard to destroy the legacy of the men and apostles of God that established such works is what we know. Thank you.